Hello again. This is Milton Meyer with another edition of Your Pocketbook. Our guest today is Mr. Julius S. Whitfoot, Deputy Regional Director of the Office of Price Stabilization for New York and New Jersey. As you may already know, Julius, for the next 15 minutes, I'm going to forget that I, too, am associated with OPS. And I'm going to take the place of our listeners and seek to draw from you some pertinent facts about inflation and about what the OPS is doing and has done to combat inflation.
Good, Milton. I think that it is fairly important that our listeners recognize what inflation is, how and on what it grows, and what its ultimate dangers are.
Well, I think, Julius, that if our listeners do understand the dangers of inflation, that they'll always be on their guard, and that they'll help us in the job that we're trying to do.
Perhaps it would be a good idea to let them know how many local offices we have and where they are located.
Well, in New York City, the District OPS office is located at 401 Fifth Avenue.
And there are other District OPS offices in Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, and Albany in New York State.
And in Newark and in Trenton, New Jersey. But we'll repeat those locations at the end of the program. And meanwhile, I think we ought to bring our audience up to date on the latest news on the inflation front. What is it, Mr. Wickler, that you're going to talk about today?
I have just received a special price report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics in Washington. This has some very interesting information about the effect of price controls by showing what happened to some 20 selected commodities.
Are those commodities all the things that consumers buy?
Not entirely. Some are materials used in the manufacture of consumer goods. Here, let me show you what I mean. Suppose we start with lard. Last summer, you could buy lard for just under 11 cents a pound. But 6 months later, the price had gone up to over 18 cents a pound, an increase of more than 68%. After the price freeze last January, we stopped this rapid increase, and lard has even come down a little to 17.5 cents a pound.
Well, what made the price of lard jump so high in the first place?
You know, Milton, a price rise is brought about by many factors. In the case of lard, one important reason was that hog and cattle prices generally had gone up. In addition, we exported 31 million pounds of lard during 1950.
And I suppose that the military demands for lard have gone up, too.
That's true. But even after the price freeze of last January, lard prices rose slightly. But that was largely the result of a freight car shortage. In March, however, prices began to come down. One reason for the drop was that OPS had already placed price controls on lard. Then, too, production was increasing, and the spring pig crop was being slaughtered, and vegetable oil prices were beginning to come down.
That's very interesting. Now, what about coffee? That's probably one of the most popular items, at least so far as consumers are concerned.
Well, last June, coffee in the bean, that just as it comes off the tree, before it's roasted, was selling for 48.5 cents a pound. By January, this same coffee bean was up to 54 cents a pound.
Well, I've heard that since the end of the war, more coffee is being consumed throughout the world than is actually being produced.
That's correct. And the only way those demands can be met is to draw on the coffee reserve held by the Brazilian government. By the end of 1949, this reserve had practically disappeared. As in the case of lard, several causes helped raise the price of coffee. Bad weather on the plantations destroyed much of the crop. The government increased its purchases of coffee for our armed services. Ocean freight rates increased. All this helped jack up the price. In January, OPS froze the price of coffee. That action, plus the fact that coffee imports in February were larger than usual, help bring the price down, and therefore save the consumer some money.
Well, both lard and coffee are actual items which the consumer buys. What about some item that's used in the manufacture of a product bought by the consumer?
Prices of such items also dropped. Let's take cottonseed oils as an illustration. You know it's widely used in making margarine, also in mayonnaise, salad oils, and shortenings. The price of cottonseed oil rose 71% before last January's price freeze.
Well, now, is cottonseed oil an actual byproduct of cotton, Mr. Wickler?
It is, and its supply is naturally determined by the size of the cotton crop. Last year, our domestic cotton crop was rather small, and that influenced the rise in the price of cottonseed oil. In addition, prices took another jump in November when we announced the amount of raw cotton which would be exported.
What's happened to the price of cottonseed oil since the freeze?
Here, too, we have seen a decrease in price, another proof that price control does help to keep prices down. You can see that this represents a drop of 19%. Following the price freeze in January, OPS put out a ceiling price regulation which placed specific ceiling prices on cottonseed, soybean oil, and on corn oil. This, of course, helped greatly to hold the cottonseed oil prices down.
You just mentioned raw cotton. Was there any price change here?
Oh, yes. Raw cotton seemed to follow the same general pattern as the other items we've talked about. A sharp rise from the outbreak of the Korean War until the price freeze in January, up nearly 32%. Again, this rise was caused by many contributing elements. The small cotton crop I refer to, the increased demands of the military, and also the fact that we were already stepping up our cotton shipments abroad.
Well, I suppose that the general price freeze helped check the recent rise in cotton prices.
That's right. Again, we can see that the general freezing of prices last January put the brake on prices that seemed almost certain to keep on rising. In March, OPS got out a ceiling price regulation number 8, which was specifically designed to put price ceilings on all grades of raw cotton purchased on a spot basis. Naturally, prices have been coming down slowly ever since.
Well, that should be an encouraging bit of news to American housewives.
We think it is. You see, this drop in raw cotton prices has been reflected by the drop in the price of print cloth. Before the price freeze, print cloth was heading straight up, an increase of almost 58%. After the price freeze, the price headed in the other direction. Here again, you have a dramatic illustration of what the price freeze accomplished, plus the fact that it was followed soon by a special regulation tailored to meet the requirements of this particular industry.
Well, I suppose the story of what happened to other fabrics, worsted suitings, for instance, isn't much different.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Meyer. Worsted suitings started going up after the fighting began. By January, they had risen over 55%. The price freeze of last January and the OPS regulation which controlled the prices of worsted suitings were extremely effective in keeping price fabrics at reasonable levels.
I see what you mean by a definite pattern, Julius. Up after the war started in Korea, stop immediately after the price freeze in January, and then a drop or a leveling off. In certain cases, that drop is very obvious.
It most certainly is. In fact, you could just keep on multiplying the number of examples, and in every case, you'd have the same story repeated. Up, stop, and down. That's just as true whether you're talking about steel scrap or pig iron zinc or tin, shellac or rubber. In every instance, the price freeze of last January was the first time rising prices had been stopped dead in their tracks. After that, action the Office of Price Stabilization hurried to make sure that prices wouldn't start climbing again. OPS issued special regulations designed to take care of the special needs and problems of individual industries. And these helped greatly in the keeping prices steady or in bringing them down to lower levels.
Well, now, just how much did price controls have to do with bringing the prices down?
Undoubtedly, price control has played a very important part. But you must always remember, Milton, that price control alone can't do the job of fighting a successful battle against inflation.
I'm very well aware of that, Mr. Wickler. This struggle against inflation is so big a job that it needs the constant help and support of everybody. You can't expect consumers to do it alone, or businessmen, or farmers.
Exactly. One group actually depends upon the cooperation of all the others. That's the only way we can be successful in the fight to lower prices, to bring industry and business and consumers into the best possible balance, and make sure that we keep our economy stable.
Well, that brings us about to the end of this particular edition of Your Pocketbook. But before we go, Julius, I'd like to thank you very much for being here today and to say that you've made some very strong points. That inflation is a danger, a dollar and cents danger, that can disrupt our whole economy. And I think that you've pointed out very clearly that there are three levels that have taken place since January. Up, and to stop when the price freeze took effect in January, a leveling off shortly after the price freeze, and then a slow but sure downward descent after OPS regulations took hold. I think you've also made it very clear that the consumer can look forward to a continued leveling or descent of prices with the continued application of OPS regulations. I think, too, that you've made the very important point that fighting inflation is everybody's job.
Correct. If everyone buys carefully, pays only ceiling prices, and avoids scare buying, I think we will all have gone a long way to beat inflation.
And here let me point out again that the Office of Price Stabilization has an office in New York City at 401 Fifth Avenue, and in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany in New York State.
And in Trenton and Newark in New Jersey. These offices have been set up to serve the people of the surrounding communities, and I think that all our listeners should make use of them.
Thank you very much. Mr. Julius S. Wickler, Deputy Regional Director for the Office of Price Stabilization in New York and New Jersey. This is Milton Meyer closing out this edition of Your Pocketbook and inviting you to visit with us at the same time next week. Your Pocketbook is edited and produced